a very young age, I heard God calling me, but I didn't accept him into my life. When I was 11, I heard him calling me again, and I accepted him. I didn't understand everything about being a Christian. I did and said things I knew weren't right. I often questioned whether or not I was a Christian. When Dwayne Weber had revival meetings, I think it was last year, I felt terrible inside. I knew I wasn't right with God. I prayed and asked God to forgive me. I also did not spend time with him like I should have. Since then, I still struggle with whether or not I was a Christian. I'm not sure exactly when, but I know I now have peace with God, the peace that I wanted for so long. Some verses I like is, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, Psalms 46:1. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed, Isaiah 53:5. Thank you all for making me feel welcome here, and God bless you all.
The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I just sitting here tonight, just looking at these five young souls up here tonight, like, you know what, praise the Lord. If anyone's here tonight and you're wondering if God is still alive, just come front here and stand where I am and take a good look, and you'll recognize in a hurry that God is on the throne and still working in the hearts and in the lives of people. Lester Dibb, I also want to welcome you, each one tonight. Thank you all for coming out to this very, very special service this evening. Baptism is an outward means of identifying with God's people. Tonight, these girls, no secrets, they want to identify with God's people. It's a clear sign to others that these girls this evening are turning away from a life of sin and to a new life in Christ. What you're making known tonight, girls, is a change has taken place. A sinner has been saved. You know, in order for a sinner to be saved, there's one of the main things they need to do first of all is recognize that they are sinners. The Bible helps us understand this quite clearly. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," now this is speaking about Adam back in the Garden of Eden, "and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." So Romans, some two verses there, Romans are very clear. All have sinned. All means everyone. We all have sinned. No one is excluded. And we can take this a step further. In 1 John 1:10, where we read, "If we say we have not sinned, what happens? We make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Of course, we would not want to say that God is a liar. So we recognize that we and were living in sin. But Romans 3:23 also tells us we fell short of the glory of God. So consider ourselves there. Not a good place to be. Not something we would consider as being good living conditions. So we would say we were in need of help, living in a sinful condition. But as we get older in our lives, become aware of the situation that we're living in, the Holy Spirit makes it clear to us. But then it gets worse. We recognize we're sinners, but there's nothing that we can do in our own strength to get out of the current situation that we are in. There's no self-escape plan. We can, on our own strength, we cannot do that. When a Christian truly wants help, there's only one place they can turn to, or one person. We need to turn to God. You see, God created you, created each one of us here this evening, and he was fully aware of where the condition that we would find ourselves in someday. But God didn't want us to remain in our current sinful condition, so he designed an escape route. An escape route to get us out of our sinful condition and so we can live a life of victory. And the escape route, better known as the plan of salvation. If you ask around, and please don't, but if you would ask around, depends who would ask, you would discover that there are people today that would tell you there's more than one escape route, more than one plan of salvation, more than one way that you can take to get out of your sinful condition and to inherit eternal life. But tonight, I'm going to tell you girls, the fact is there is only one way, and that is the way that you have chosen. That is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. What are the conditions? That whosoever believeth. So we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That verse says we're not going to perish, but we're going to have everlasting life. And the way of eternal life is clearly stated there when we come to Jesus Christ and believe in him. God's designed this plan, so he sent his son Jesus to the earth. And after a few short years of wonderful ministry, which we can read about in the Gospels, then we can read a little bit further. We find out that Jesus was falsely accused. And as we go further, we find out that he was taken to the hill of Golgotha. Then we read about some rough soldiers. They took him and they drove spikes through his hands and through his feet. And then they hung him on a cross. And if you read a little further, we see his blood ran down. And then he died right there in front of whoever was standing there watching. But what he did, he paid the sin debt for you and I. And yes, the story is extremely sad, but it doesn't end there. There's more to that story. He died. They took him down. They buried him. His body lay in the grave, and a few more sad days followed. This is what happened. This is what he did. And then the tone of the story changes, and today the empty grave reveals the fact that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. You see, he was willing to come to this earth to give his life so that you and I can experience eternal life. That's why we say Jesus died for me, Jesus died for you. Ever since you were young girls, you sang Jesus loves me. And today you probably still do. That's great. We do too. And that's the exact fact. He loves you. He didn't want you to stay out lost in sin. God didn't want you there. So God said, I'm gonna design this plan so these five girls can come to know Jesus and then they can experience eternal life. But the debt had to be paid. See, sin's wrong. So what did he do? But this is what I explained. Jesus said, I'm willing to die so these girls can experience eternal life. I wasn't there. I never went there, at least not yet. Yous were never there. But the truth is that Jesus died so that we can experience eternal life. Sin keeps us huddled up, and sin tends to make us feel bad and feel wrong. And Jesus says, no, I don't want that. I want you to live a life of victory. Live a life for me. So he died for each one of you. So you don't have to live in that there with the guilt anymore because he paid that sin debt. And today you can live a life for him. And that was God's escape route for you so you could live a life of victory for him. And girls, tonight you're making a statement that you're going to turn away from your former lifestyle and accept the new path that you found with Jesus and follow in his footsteps. An evident change has taken place. The Bible says, old things are passed away, all things are new. I'm not going to do things I used to because Jesus is in my life and I'm going to follow him and be obedient to him. The basis of salvation is the work of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And speaking obviously of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only and the only way to salvation, the way that you girls decided to go. May God bless you in your journey. The terms of salvation are faith, repentance, and baptism. You think about it, it starts with a saving faith in Jesus Christ, an unwavering faith in the one who you turn to for salvation. I will trust in him and I will follow him as long as he gives me life. Next it comes to repentance, a godly sorrow for our past wrongs, and if need be, combined with a willing attitude to take care of past mistakes. Can't live with that. We're going to make things right. And then baptism. I will make my faith and my commitment known so others can know about my decision to follow the Lord. You have a faith that you're not going to be ashamed of. You're sitting here tonight going to make a statement. I'm not ashamed of my faith. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
It says it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So blessing to you as you begin your journey with the Lord. Sometimes we hear of a very dramatic conversion experiences, and sometimes we hear others that are less dramatic. But that's not what matters. It's how dramatic the experience was. But what does matter is that we understand that we were once lost, but now we are found. And tonight you're found in Jesus Christ. You have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior of your lives. And your outlook on life has changed, and you're going to be following a new master. If you were here on Sunday, which some of you were not, but you heard about the promises of God. And as you take time, study, and read your Bible, you will find many, many promises. But the blessings and promises that you read about in God's Word are for those who've been born again, where you are tonight. God has many promises for you. So what's the key? The promises for those are for those who are obedient to His commandments. You know, in the Christian life, obedience is a key command. From this day forward, obedience is a key command. Think about it as you go on through life. Sometimes just stop and ask yourself the question. You don't have to ask it out loud. Just think it. Are my words and my actions, are they pleasing? And are they obedient and pleasing to the Lord? You know, just keep a check on your life. Your friends. Oh, you don't have to follow your friends, girls. Not all your friends are going to do what I just mentioned there. So you have a group of friends and they're all headed this direction. Wait a minute. Is this pleasing to the Lord? And there are going to be times, this might sound hard, but there are going to be times you got to stand alone. You remember this night, the night that you accepted the Lord as your Savior. And because of that, I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. And I can't do, hopefully you never have friends that do that. But there are going to be times you go through life when you're going to have to stop and ask yourself the question, would the Lord be pleased if I would go there or do this or do that? Am I saying the Christian life is hard? No. The blessings are there. Thank you for smiling, Mia. The blessings are there. And God loves you, but God wants you to be obedient. So obedience is a key command. See, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." So just because a person can say, "Lord, Lord," does not mean he's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But the verse says this, "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And there again, what we see is obedience. Are we doing the will of God? Your life now requires more than just saying, "Lord, Lord." That's like saying, "Yes, I will take the trash out," and then never get it done. But it's doing the will. You can say it, but are you doing the will of the Lord? What we look at this evening is a very dramatic conversion experience. I took a story about a sinner, led him to salvation, and also we see about about baptism. And turn to Acts, you have your Bible, you turn to Acts 22. This story is about Saul prior to his baptism, but we're going to call him Paul prior to his conversion experience, because after he was converted, he was called Paul. So Acts 22, and what we have here in Acts 22, Paul is telling about his conversion story. If you go back to Acts 9, that's where you have the original count when he was on the road to Damascus. And I choose to look at this account for the text tonight. But here Paul is telling others about his experience. Let's jump in at verse 3. Acts 22, verse 3. Well, I can start reading verse 1. "Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make known unto you. And when they heard that he would speak in Hebrew tongue to them, they kept them more silent, and he saith." Now this is what he's telling them about himself in verse 3. "I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, in the city of Cilicia. I was brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day." What Paul said here, he said, "I am verily a man." This is who he was. And interesting point. For each one of us, he is saying who he was. And sometimes we need to recognize who we were. This is not saying who he is, but who he was. He's going back before his conversion experience and telling them of who he was. I am verily a man. He was a Jew. He studied the scriptures, studied the Jewish law with one of the most respected teachers in Judea. If you go to Acts 5:34, we see Paul's teacher that he talks about here. Verse 5:34 says, one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, and had a reputation among the people. So Paul is saying he was taught the perfect manner of the law, and he was zealous towards God. So Paul considered himself, may I say, a good man, because of who he was and how he was brought up. And he illustrated how zealous he was as he recounted the account of persecuting the Christians in verse 4. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. He was persecuting those who followed the way of Jesus. And this is how dedicated he was. Just bear with me for a second. Acts 9:1 says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. So who was Paul? This is who he was. This verse indicates the depth of his obsession, and he was destroying the way of Jesus. He was a dedicated man, and he was going to destroy anybody that was polluting or that was against the Jewish law. He was consumed by his mission, and it seemed like just hated those who believed in Jesus Christ. Verse 5, he was headed for Damascus. And now, verse 6, he's on his way to Damascus. Verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and came nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Verse 6, the plans got changed. His current mission has ended. At noontime, we see a great light shone down from heaven, brighter than the sun, it is said, piercing his eyes and stopped in his tracks. Verse 7, and I fell unto the ground. That was his response. The light was that bright. He fell to the ground. And verse 7 says, and I heard a voice saying unto me, I'll just pause there for a second, go down to verse 9. Them that were with me saw the light, and they were afraid of the light, but it says they heard not the voice of him that spake unto him. So the group of people that were with him saw the light, but didn't hear the voice. And the voice said, Saul, Saul, called unto him twice, and it said, why persecutest thou me? Why are you persecuting me? And I think at this point, Paul must have been puzzled and terrified at the same time. Because in his mind, he was not persecuting God. He was defending. He thought he was defending God and God's laws. But in his confused and terrified state, he managed to answer. And I find it rather amazing with the way he answered. His reply was, verse 8, Paul said, and I answered, who art thou, comma, Lord? And I thought, he didn't know who was speaking to him, but actually called him Lord. Seems like he answered his own question. He called him Lord, you know, realizing it was somebody greater than himself, if not actually God. And the one who spoke to him was Jesus. He said unto him, verse 8, and he said unto him, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. The one once crucified, now the heavenly Lord. And he was one that Paul was persecuting. Let's read on. Verse 9. And they that were with me, I read before, indeed saw indeed the light and were afraid. And they heard the voice of him that spake unto me. In verse 10. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? I got a question. As you look at verse 8, when he said, who art thou, Lord? And look at verse 10. When he said, what shall I do, Lord? The question I have is, when did Paul realize he was making a mistake? When did his heart change? Was it back in verse 8 or was it there in verse 10? But verse 10 is a beautiful verse. We're looking at a zealous, committed man who was full of energy, but applying his energy on the incorrect side, on the wrong side. Now in verse 10, his former zeal and agenda is broken, and he simply cries out, Lord, what do you want me to do? Going from persecuting the Christians to saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Somewhere in them, within them verses there, Paul broke, and he realized that he was making a mistake. Imagine how he felt at this point. He'd been spending his entire life climbing the ladder, and now he was almost at the top, and he realized he was leaning against the wrong wall. And he had to start all over again. He thought he was doing right, only to discover that he was on the losing on the losing team fighting a losing battle. And Jesus got a hold of his life and changed things around. You know, no one else could have convinced Paul that he was doing wrong. When you have a man as zealous as what he was, and we could have talked more about his zeal, but what we see there, just doing everything he can just to persecute the Christians, and no one could have convinced him, Paul, you're doing what's wrong. But Jesus accomplished it in what seemed to be an impossible task. Jesus accomplished it with just a simple bright light. And Paul realized that he was making a mistake. He went from killing the Christians to asking the Lord how he could labor for him. Jesus made a change in the way Paul was living. Jesus made a change in the way I was living. And Jesus is going to make a change in the way you were living. Maybe not as traumatic as I just read. My conversion experience was not this traumatic either, but that doesn't really matter. The fact is that we're wrong and now living for the Lord. Then the question could come up, how could the Lord use someone like Paul for his kingdom work? You know, sometimes we think, well, that person is so bad, he can never do anything good. But look here. Here we find a man literally killing people. And Jesus said, you're the one I want. And you know how many books in the Bible that Paul wrote? A lot of the New Testament is written by this man that I'm talking about. But what made the difference? Jesus made a change in his life. Let's read on. Paul was blind for a few days. Verse 10, what shall I do, Lord? The Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things that are appointed for thee to do. Verse 11, and when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came unto Damascus. And one, Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. So here we see his sight was restored. And as he looked up to Ananias, this is what Ananias said in verse 14. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou should know his will and see that just one and should hear the voice of his mouth. Paul, God has chosen you. He went from a sinner to an apostle in a short amount of time. Notice a few things. Paul, you are to know the will of God. Girls, tonight, that's very important. You know the will of God. Ask the Lord what is his will for your life. Spend time in prayer. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak, and he will tell you what you are to do. Paul, you were selected by God to see Jesus and to hear his voice. Why? So you could testify to others. Girls, you have been chosen by God to be a witness for him. Let your light shine. Remember, you sing this little light of mine? You still do that sometimes? What does that mean? I'm going to let it shine so others can know that I have been with Jesus. Verse 15 is almost like a command. You know the commandments back in Exodus? Thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that. Look at verse 15. It says, for thou shalt do what? Be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Girls, you're supposed to be a witness of what you have seen and the changes that the Lord has made in your life. Tell others about what Jesus has done for you. Be a witness. I don't know how God's going to use you. Like I told you, he used Paul to write a lot of the New Testament. And you can't do that because that's already done. But God has plans for each one of you. I'm convinced. But just be a vessel in his hand, a tool in his hand to be used for his honor and for his glory. Insert your name in this chapter here, in some of these verses. Verse 14, and he said, the God of our fathers has chosen, it says thee. Put in your name right there. That's what I want you to go on through life, knowing the will of God, hearing his voice, and being a witness. Your response to the call of God in your life needs to resemble the response that Paul had here as he went on to do great things for the Lord. So what did he say? He said, what do you want me to do? And then tonight you're thinking, well, Paul was probably about 40. I'm only about 12. I understand, but God can use
little as much when God is in it. So regardless of what age you are, God can use you in great ways. God wants you to be his witnesses. And then verse 16, they said, "And why tirest thou here? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Basically, why are we prolonging the process? What are we waiting for? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. This is another beautiful picture. As you're baptized here shortly, calling on the name of the Lord, your sins are washed away, and leave a new person for Christ. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism is the answer of a good conscience towards God. You know, our conscience works sometimes, and we know when we're doing wrong. But when our conscience are convinced the necessity of spiritual cleansing, then tonight we look to God for the result. So may your response be, "Lord, here I am. Use me for your kingdom work." That's exactly what God's looking for. 5 obedient girls saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Maybe it's at school tomorrow. Maybe it's at school next week. Maybe to witness to someone on your field trip. Maybe your neighbor, as they're watching you, can they see a change? And I'd like to also just remind you again that one of the keys in your Christian life is just being obedient. When God speaks, we need to take time to stop and listen. So I'm asking just God just to richly bless you as you make your faith known tonight and continue on your journey with the Lord. Let's just pray. Father God, we come before you tonight. Thank you for the story of Paul here. And Lord, let us pray we can apply it to each one of our lives. Lord, not just to 5 girls, but each one of us. Maybe we witnesses for you. But I just want to lift up these girls to you tonight and ask you to just bless them, be with them. Pray, Lord, they can just have the response that Paul had. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And they can be obedient to you, be a witness for you and know you, spend time speaking with you. Lord, just bless them as they go on through their journey. And I'll say as you just bless the remainder of the service. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good evening. Thank you for coming out tonight. One of my favorite verses is Revelation 12:11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." God spoke to me at Pleasant Valley Revivals. That night's message was on the verse that says, "The wages of sin is death." For a few days after that, I was feeling convicted. I knew I was a sinner. So on September 30, 2015, I went to my parents and committed my life to God. After I'd found peace with God, I knew that God had forgiven me. Please pray for me as I continue my walk with him.
Heather, this evening, I treasure the moment to stand beside you as you give your declaration and confession to be a follower of Jesus. Heather is a tremendous blessing to our family. When it comes to matters of conscience, she was always a bit sensitive, and the night the Lord called her, she was quite emotional, and it was amazing to see the difference when she made her decision to follow Jesus. It is so exciting to see a walk in the Spirit begin, even though the steps sometimes seem small and maybe just a bit feeble. There is a walk, and her diligence in her morning quiet time bring joy to my heart and our Heavenly Father. Heather, I want to bless you. And seeing you on your knees early this week, early in the morning, was a tremendous blessing, brought me much joy. And I just want to say, stay faithful. I love you.
On October 6, 2015, I gave my heart to the Lord. I was lying in bed one night, struggling with the question, "Will I die tonight? And if I do, where will I go?" I finally got up and went to my parents' room, and we prayed together. As I was walking back to my bedroom, I felt peace and joy like I never felt before. One verse I like is Colossians 2:6-7. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." I am looking forward to joining the church, and please pray for me as I continue my journey with Christ.
Lydia, I am blessed to stand with you here and honored as a father to share in your baptismal service. There's no greater joy than to see your children decide to follow Christ. And we've always, as parents, tried to make it clear to each of our children that they are welcome to come into our room at any hour of the night. And what a blessing it was to have Liddy come into our room and to see God working and drawing her to the Lord. It's been our prayer that God would draw each of our children. We've been blessed with five daughters and four sons. Each of them are very special. Liddy, you're very special to us. And it's our prayer that God would draw, and to see God answer that prayer truly was a blessing and a joy. Would like to just share a little bit about Liddy. Her name is very special as well. She is named after her great-grandmother and her grandmother. So you have an example to follow. And also the Lord, an example of the Lord Jesus. And the meaning of Liddy's name is beautiful light. And I like to, Connie and I enjoyed naming each of our children. It was a joy to see Liddy, a beautiful daughter, and what a blessing it is. And then to see you come to the Lord and to see internal beauty, something that the world greatly needs to see is women shining with internal beauty. And Liddy, I want to encourage you to shine for the Lord. God bless you.
I became a Christian January 12, 2015. Living in Christ has been a challenge and a blessing. My favorite Bible verse is Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
There was great excitement in the Martin family one evening. Joe and I were upstairs or in the kitchen, and Mia came up and she said, "I'd like to become a Christian. I'd like to have Jesus in my heart." There's something so special about it. Many fathers have experienced that. I was thinking of the joy and the excitement one day when Mia was born, and almost a greater joy when she was born again. Mia, I'm so excited about your desire to be a Christian and to be baptized. I want to encourage you in your walk and bless you as you're baptized here tonight. We love you.
The faith before God and these witnesses this evening, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Thank you. I accepted Christ on September 8th, 2013. I thought I could fix my problems without Christ, but it isn't possible. I gave my heart to Him and I felt a whole lot better than I did before I didn't give it to Him. My favorite verse is James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Okay. Jamie, I'm blessed that I can be here with you tonight and I could help lead you to the Lord. The encouragement I want to leave with you and for everyone else is trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Trust in God no matter whatever comes. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's tough, but you give everything, acknowledge every word, every action, trust in Him. And He'll lead you through life, no matter how hard it is.
In 2015, I felt the call to become a Christian. On September 15, I asked to become a Christian. My mom and dad prayed with me. I now serve a mighty God and want to serve Him every day of my life. Please pray for me as I continue to serve the Lord. An encouraging verse to me is Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Well, I too am happy and blessed to be here with you this evening, Megan. Thank you for being a blessing to our family. What challenges me is her desire to do what is right. Always a blessing that she wants to do what is right. Just this has always been, just mentioned just this week again, she's always a very joyful girl with a smile on her face, and we're blessed to see her that way as well. And I was just thinking how she come to us to pray, and today we go to our Heavenly Father for comfort. It's a blessing that she come to her parents. And her song, which we're going to sing soon, also blessed my heart. And she chose to sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And with her desire to do what is right, it's a blessing for us. Isaiah 26:3 says, Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So Megan, trust God will keep you and you will remain faithful to Him. And God bless you.
Megan, upon your confession of faith before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Lee.
I'm so glad.
Oh,
have a prayer of dedication. I'm going to ask the class to kneel, and Jim Weaver's going to come and lead in that prayer, and the congregation can stand.
Heavenly Father, thank you for these precious moments, and we can almost see you on the throne, looking down at this assembly here tonight, and especially on these five young ladies who made a profound declaration to follow Jesus. And Lord, tonight as an assembly, as a body, and many well-wishers and family, we together unite our hearts and we dedicate, consecrate these five young ladies to you. Although they represent, you know, there's homes here that they're part of, we recognize that they're yours. And you've lent them to several of us families and here as a body, as a church family, you've given them. Oh God, we pray for grace and mercy to be found faithful in nurturing in the home and in the church. We pray, God, that you would, through the nurture and admonition of the ways of God, you would just use these young ladies in a profound, dynamic way to make a difference in the world. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that called them. And Lord, thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that will continue the sanctifying work in each one of our lives. So thank you again, Lord. We commend them to you. And we look forward to just watch your will unfold before our eyes. Thank you again for all you've done and what you will do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can be seated.
To the baptismal class this evening, in the name of Christ, we receive you as members into our fellowship. I want to encourage you to be present for regular worship services, and to participate in council meetings, communion services. Commit yourselves to daily reading the Bible and prayer. Make it your goal to live a holy life and to be separate from the unsaved world around you. And in everything, show yourself to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. As you are faithful and abide in the doctrine of God's word, you are his disciples indeed. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless you and cause his face to shine upon you. And to the congregation, to family and friends here, let's be faithful in encouraging them in their Christian lives and supporting them in every way we can and being a blessing to them as they live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've asked the class to stay up front after the dismissal. They're going to stay right here and encourage you to come and to wish them the Lord's blessing. Let's come down the side aisle over here and come across the front and use so that we're not all bumping into each other. So come down that aisle and come across the front, and you can dismiss through the center or the side over here. I encourage each one of you to come and wish them the Lord's blessing. What a blessing it was tonight, ladies. And I just trust that you will live every day of your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to again assure you that God has a beautiful plan for your life. He really does. Seek that plan every day of your life and live for him. The Christian life is not always an easy life, but it is the best life. And it's the only life that grants us the blessing of going to bed with a free conscience and knowing that we are a child of God's. And in that moment when he calls us home, we're ready to go home. So God bless each one of you. Let's stand for a closing prayer. Lord, I thank you for your presence with us tonight, and I thank you for these young ladies. I thank you for their families, friends who come out tonight to support this service and to the people that wanted to be here and wanted to witness this and wanted to wish them the Lord's blessing. I just thank you that people came and are supportive of them. And I just pray that you would truly continue to guide and direct them in life. And it's all of our prayer and our desire, Lord, that they would be found faithful as each one of us here tonight that has named your name, that we would also be found faithful. Help us, Lord, to realize every day how serious life is and how certain death is, and to have a proper perspective on the gift of life that you have granted to us, and especially the gift of spiritual life, and help us to be found faithful. As we leave here later this evening, I ask that your protecting hand and your blessing would rest upon each one of us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.